The spear has been known variously, you know, the spear of destiny, the holy lance, the lance of Longinus. It's placed, it's venerated, it's believed to have been the spear that pierced the side of Christ at the crucifixion. And there's a lot of intrigue involved in actually that crucifixion and how it's depicted, how the Russian Orthodox Church, how the Eastern Orthodox Church looks at it versus the Catholic Church. But the story is essentially about a Roman centurion, Longinus, and he allegedly had cataracts or was going blind. And so Pilate pulled him out of the ranks and assigned him to sort of less stressful duty. He was no good on the battlefield, so they assigned him to Mount Calvary. And, you know, the object was to, you know, he had to make certain that the bodies were off the crosses before the Sabbath began. And, you know, as we know from the Bible story, you know, Jesus was crucified and there were two thieves on either side of him. And Longinus and Roman soldiers broke the legs of the thieves, which sort of hastened their demise. But then when they got to Jesus, he appeared to be dead. And to sort of prove that, I suppose, Longinus drove his spear into Jesus's right side, at which point there was a miraculous thing happened. According to tradition, blood dripped out of Jesus down the side of the spear and into Longinus's eyes. And he suddenly was cured of cataracts and had a vision of the future, had a vision of the Messiah, and was immediately converted, you know, right there at the crucifixion. And Longinus, as opposed to his Jewish disciples, Longinus was a Roman citizen. He was free to walk Roman roads. And so he left Jerusalem holding, you know, his spear and, you know, proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah.
And you know, go ahead. I was going to jump in and say, and some people therefore consider him to be kind of the first Christian.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. I think a pretty pervasive argument could be made to that effect because, you know, Jesus, because Longinus stabbed Jesus and proclaimed him the Messiah. And of course, this fulfilled Old Testament prophecy that one, you know, a bone of him shall not be broken, and that they shall declare Jesus the Messiah. So Longinus fulfilled prophecy, and one might say that this was the, you know, seminal moment in the Jesus story. This was when Christianity came to being. So Longinus was could be considered the first Christian.
And the spear of destiny itself then becomes which is central to that story. When does it make its first historic appearance? Where it was first displayed, and other than mentioned in the New Testament account, where people were lining up, you know, to see this amazing relic.
Well, it was passed on through many important emperors, many important leaders, world monarchs. It's interesting to me in particular because you have other, you know, important Christian relics, the Shroud of Turin for one. But these have always been held by the Catholic Church or you know, been displayed in the cathedrals. In this case, the Spear of Destiny was property of the Holy Roman Emperor. So, you know, world monarchs had it. Constantine.
But what year was the first time that somebody said, I have the Spear of Destiny?
You know, it goes back to, you know, late Roman times, certainly. Okay. Moratorius, you know, otherwise known as Saint Maurice. He was perhaps the first after Longinus to you know, call attention to the spear.
And then at some point then the Spear of Destiny becomes this symbol for invincibility, for power. And it's venerated, as you said, it's handed down through the lines of succession from the in the Holy Roman Empire, and was not generally, you say, Sidney, not generally put on display, but it was just held.
Well, it was put on display, but I think the important feature is that it was not the possession of the church.
Right.
You know, Constantine, you know, who was the first, you know, Christian Roman emperor, carried it at both councils of Nicaea. And that's particularly interesting because it was there where the Bible sort of came into formation, you know, where they had the various apocryphal texts and they decided what was to go into the Bible and what wasn't. So there's an actual wonderful illustration of Constantine sitting at the councils of Nicaea holding the Spear of Destiny. And it was passed on, you know, through the Roman emperors to the Holy Roman emperors. Emperor Charlemagne carried it during his battles to create what became the Holy Roman Empire. And of course, it was Charlemagne who essentially configured what we now think of as Europe, you know, the individual countries.
So at some point when the Third Reich is on the rise, Hitler wants the Spear of Destiny to be in his control. Tell us a little bit about how Hitler went about to get the Spear of Destiny.
I think Hitler became aware of the spear at a very early age. You know, we know, of course, he was born and raised in Austria. He came to Vienna in and around 1909 to try to make it as an artist, and which he failed miserably. One of the things that he did, which is a particular interest, was to visit the Schatzkammer Museum, the Royal Treasury. And you know, what may have happened, at least according to legend, was, you know, he fled into the museum during a rainstorm. You know, that this was at a point where he was literally sleeping on park benches, and he came up into, I think it's room 11, where the crown jewels of the Holy Roman Empire are, you know, are on display, and he saw this simple metal spearhead, you know, a little rusty. It's about a I don't know, a foot and a half high, wrapped in silver. There's pieces of gold on it, and you know, he read its legend. He read that, you know, that this was the spear that was carried by Charlemagne, by Frederick Barbarossa. And he followed the history.
Especially the part of the history about it conveying the power of authority, that like Charlemagne and Henry the First or Otto the First, they used this lance to establish their legitimacy as emperor. It gave them both a sense of invincibility, but also a sense of succession.
Exactly. You know, there was a legend which grew up, which was always associated with this spear, that, you know, whosoever possesses the spear understands the power it serves, holds in his hand the destiny of the world, you know, for good or for evil. So I think he believed that somehow the invested in this spear was the power to change the world. And that's exactly what he proceeded to try and do.